Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Winter Park, and we have a special guest today, and he's going to talk NFL draft and Vikings draft with us. His name is Charlie Casserly, and you know him because he is an NFL Network analyst. Charlie, this is your second time on the Wobcast. Welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you now.
All righty. It was a busy time here the last few months. We had the combine, we had the pro days, and then ultimately we had the draft, the off-season event that everyone loves and the event that springs eternal optimism, one that you've been through as a general manager, as a scout, and now as an analyst. Before we get into the Vikings specifically, what were some of your thoughts on the draft this year?
Well, I think that we saw a lot of offensive linemen go high there in the draft. We saw six go in the first 11 picks. Mm-hmm. And I think that attested to a little bit of some of the positions that weren't as strong. You didn't have the quarterbacks talent there. And you also, the quarterbacks get forced up higher than they really should be taken sometimes. So that gets them a little bit higher in the draft. And that group wasn't there this year. Running backs, wide receivers. Normally you see some of them go high in the draft. You didn't see that this year. So I think that was one of the reasons some of the offensive linemen got taken a little bit higher than they would have in other years.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say something like that to you during the course of this interview because I think that was pivotal for the Vikings in getting Sharif Floyd where they did at number 23. I mean, you looked at a lot of people's pre-draft rankings, and Sharif Floyd was a top five player. He was the first defensive tackle off the board. And, you know, I think that if a guy was going to sit down and analyze it, there were probably three elite defensive tackles. Floyd was one of them, Star Lotulelei, and Sheldon Richardson. No matter how you stacked them, one through three, you thought all three defensive tackles would be gone before pick 23. But do you think all those offensive linemen going as early as they did, is that why Sharif Floyd was there for the Vikings at 23?
Well, I think a couple things. That's certainly a possibility. But I think that in talking to teams, and I like Sharif Floyd. I thought he was the best defensive player in the draft.
Wow, okay.
I thought that he was a steal where the Vikings got him. But in talking to teams, and those are the ones who decided to pass on him at times, there was a concern about maybe he didn't fit in the 34 defense, which makes no difference to the Vikings. And then he does have short arms, and that there's some people that that's an eliminator for taking high in the draft. So, you know, those were some factors that teams told me why he was still around when the Vikings were there. But the 34 defense, I think, was the biggest one.
Okay. I mean, you were an NFL talent evaluator and decision maker for a long time. I mean, you know, I think at times it's gotten to the point now where it's almost paralysis by analysis. I mean, I understand he may have quote unquote short arms, but if the guy can play football, he can play football, right?
Well, again, you have to try to study that, and you have to look at kind of a history and. Players with arms his size, you know, it's a little bit short list of guys who are successful, but there have been people with arms his size who are successful.
Okay.
And I didn't see it a problem when I watched him. I think he needs to improve his pass protection. I think he can get on the edge and win upfield. I think he can stack at the point of attack. I thought he played with a high motor. So I liked everything about the guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a chance to watch a little bit of him, some of his college tape with one of our coaches here on staff. And, you know, one thing I noticed before we move on to some of the other picks the Vikings made, one more question here on Sharif Floyd. You know, one thing I noticed is Florida moved him around a lot. Do you think now when he comes and joins our team and practices with us, Charlie, that he'll benefit from kind of staying in one or maybe two positions with our coaches and our veterans and kind of honing in on some of his skill set at one spot?
Well, I think earlier in a career, that's what you should do with a player. This way, like you said, he can master his skills in one spot. Once he's mastered them, then begin to move him around. Don't move him around right now. In college, you can do that because you're going to be a better player than most of the players you've played. At the NFL, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah. You know, the Vikings finish up the first round. They go and get Xavier Rhodes, the corner out of Florida State at 25. And then in emergency-like fashion almost, we had to rush Rick Spielman off of the press conference podium to come back into the war room and make a trade with New England. We come back into the first round and get Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, Charlie, we had a rookie minicamp last weekend, and I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun to watch Rhodes and Patterson go against each other in some of those drills. What do you think about both of those players?
Well, I think in looking at Rhodes, I had him ranked about in the 15 area, not the 15th player, but historically about that middle of the first round. I thought that's where he ought to go. I think he's a press corner. I think he can run. He's physical. You put him in that position, I think this guy's really a good football player. So I liked him. I thought where they got him was good. I think they'll use him correctly, and that's the crucial part of it. I think if he has to play strictly off coverage, I don't think that's his game, see, with his hips. I think he'll be a little bit tight in the hips and turning. He's not bad, but he's not the most fluid guy in that area. But you press him, you got a real good football player.
You know, with Rhodes, the one thing that really impressed at our rookie minicamp, Charlie, was he is big and physical. But in the second play of his one-on-one drill, his first one-on-one drill on Friday, he got beat on an out-and-up route, but he recovered so quickly. His closing speed was so good that he got back to the receiver and deflected the pass. And when you have a player like that, that's why a corner is worth taking in the first round, right? When he has that blend of physicality but also speed.
Right. Well, that's what you're looking for, and it's hard to get both of those things.
Patterson, you know, a lot of people talk about, hey, the guy, his hands are suspect, or only 1 year of college playing receiver. The way I look at it is, while he's developing under our wide receiver coach, George Stewart, as a receiver, and we're getting him smoother in that area, he's going to be a dynamic returner for us, don't you think?
Well, to me, that's where he's got a shot at being Rookie of the Year, because this guy is a big guy who not only has strength as a runner, but he's elusive as a runner, and you don't see a lot of people be able to do that. And he runs with good speed. He can do punts, and he can do kickoffs. So this guy's a threat to go all the way every time he gets the ball. So you got a guy that's strong, elusive, and fast. You don't find many returners that can do all those three things. So I think that's where his greatest impact will come as a rookie.
You know, the Vikings had a fairly quiet second day of the draft, didn't make any picks because of the trade they made to get back up in the first round to get Patterson. But the third day of the draft, Saturday, we were busy. We added six players to our roster. And one thing I'd like to know, Charlie, being in the war room as often as you were and constructing a draft board and evaluating players as much as you did, when you got into some of those later rounds, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh round, and you're looking at players, what was your philosophy in selecting players when you got back into that stage? Were you looking for maybe one dominant trait that really appealed to you that allowed you to live with some of the other things a player wasn't good at? Were you looking for more of a well-rounded player? When you get back to the back half of the draft like that, what kind of things are you looking for in a player?
Well, I had a couple things. One is, first of all, we stayed true to our board. We took the best player available. We didn't pick by need. Mm-hmm. The seventh round's a little different, because you're on the phone recruiting kids if they're not drafted, and you may end up drafting a guy that you felt you may not be able to sign as a free agent, even though he may not be the next guy on your board, because at that point they may be grouped together. So that's a couple of strategy things that I think you want to stick to there. The guys that are successful, kind of a little depends on the position, but if you're talking about like safety or linebacker, instincts play a big role in it as far as being successful. So if you've got a guy who's a step short, an inch shorter in size and speed there, so to speak, but he's got real good instincts, those are the kind of guys to me that make it at the end of the draft.
Okay.
Production, is the guy a productive football player? Those guys find a way to make it when you're at the end of the draft. And then, you know, there's another school of thought in there. The guys who may have one or two physical characteristics who've been underachieved, you might roll the dice on them at this point in time, because this is where the light might go on and develop them. So those are kind of the two strategies. But when we rank them, we rank them by what we think their pro potential is. When production is part of that, what they've done in college. And we try to stay true to the board. And that's always given us our best draft picks in the later rounds.
What did you think about how the Vikings to this point have addressed their situation at linebacker? You know, for those who are listening who might not be familiar, obviously we're going to have Chad Greenway back. He's been our leading tackler for five straight years. No problems there on the outside. But in the middle, we lose a starter. Jasper Brinkley goes to Arizona in free agency, so we're missing a starter there. And then Aaron Henderson was a free agent, but we re-signed him. He's going to be back. A lot of people think we could slide him to play middle. A lot of people think we should keep him outside and find a new Mike linebacker. I'd like to know your opinion on the Vikings situation at linebacker as it relates to Aaron Henderson and filling a void either outside or Mike, depending on what you do with Aaron.
Well, in a perfect world, you keep Aaron where he was, because that's where he's played. I think it's one of those things you're still going to have to keep looking, and if that's your best option to put him outside and go with a younger guy inside, then you have to do it. I guess this is a process where you don't play for 4 months, okay?
Yeah.
And over the next 4 months, who else can become available? Who develops amongst younger players? You can't get everything solved at times in one off season or in one draft. So clearly this is an area they continue to have to work on.
Have you, in your time in building rosters, maintaining rosters, who were some of the better middle linebackers that you had on your teams?
In Houston, we had a guy named Jamie Sharper, who I thought was a real instinctive type guy, maybe better fitted to the outside, but did have really good instincts and athletic ability to cover, and find the football. We had a linebacker towards the end of my term in Washington named Derek Smith, who we drafted in the third round, didn't go to the combine, didn't go to an all-star game. And he went on and played like 10 years in the league, an instinctive type guy, not a headliner, but a good solid player for 10 years. So those were the last two that I dealt with.
Okay. So, for the Vikings, when you're trying to fill a void at middle linebacker, we didn't use a first-round pick, and we didn't sign a tier one free agent. So we're not going to get a perfect player at middle linebacker, and that's no disrespect to whoever that player ends up being. It's going to be a guy who we're going to want to see develop into that role. So given that we're not going to get the perfect player, what are one or two of the most important traits to have in a middle linebacker?
Yeah, I think, first of all, if you want him to call the defense, it's obviously intelligence. But to me, it's instincts. You'd like the guy to be big and strong and, be physical as the inside running game. And that's great. I mean, if you get that guy, that's terrific. You'd like the guy to be able to run and go cover deep like Urlacher. Well, that's great. Okay. The reality is, you're not going to find a lot of those guys. But instincts to me is the number one thing that I've found. Guy, can he get to the football and find the football? And we're not talking about size or speed there. So that's my number one characteristic of an inside linebacker is finding the football.
And a guy I think of right away is London Fletcher. There's a guy who's undersized, and some people might knock some of his athletic traits or other parts of his game, but how about a guy who's always around the ball and instinctive? London Fletcher is a good example, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's played forever, and he's too short.
Yeah, exactly.
But the guy makes a lot of plays because he's a step quicker than the blocker.
I think it's interesting as you watch the NFL kind of change and evolve, you see some of these athletic pass-catching tight ends that you can line up in the slot or even line them up out wide. They can do a lot of different things. You see some of these 3-4 hybrid outside edge rushers. Do you see any sort of trends emerging or just talk a little bit about some of the different types of players that we're seeing in today's NFL that's different from then when you were running a team, Charlie?
I think it's not necessarily a different type. It's just more of certain types.
Okay.
I think that the the traditional inside linebacker, this run stopper, he's being weeded out in college football because of the spread offense.
Sure.
The fullback, you're not finding many fullbacks in college football. So those are a couple of areas. Tight end, you've always had trouble finding the guy that could block and run and catch. But I think you're seeing more and more of the athletic type of receiving tight ends than ever before. So your coach is going to have to do more in the area of development as far as a blocker goes than they probably had to do before. But that trend's been coming for a long time.
The NFC North has a couple of those tight ends. I mean, you look at Kyle Rudolph, our guy, the Pro Bowl MVP and a guy who really came on strongly last year. JaMychal Finley is a beast to handle, and Brandon Pettigrew is good, and I'm sure Chicago's going to find a good solution at tight end as well. What's the best way to cover those types of tight ends? Do you put a safety on them and give up some size? Do you put a linebacker on there who can run and cover? I mean, how do you handle that type of offensive weapon?
Well, it depends a lot on your scheme and your calls and whatever. one thing I think people could help themselves with is jamming them at the line of scrimmage.
Sure.
When they're in tight, don't give them that free release. That allows your safeties, if they're not top safeties, a better chance to cover them.
Yeah.
It just depends on your scheme, what you have to do. And again, are they the primary weapon? Are you going to double team them? You know, you have to look at who you have. Do you have an athletic linebacker that can run, that can cover them? Do you have a safety that can run and cover them? So those are things you have to consider about your own personnel.
You know, before the draft happened, the Vikings got pretty splashy in free agency. I mean, we re-signed some of our own guys, Phil Lodeholt and Aaron Henderson, Jamarcus Sanford, Jerome Felton. But maybe the splashiest move was the acquisition of Greg Jennings. What did you think, Charlie, of the Vikings signing Greg Jennings to beef up that wide receiver core?
Well, I think, like Greg Jennings, he's got quickness, he can separate, he's got very good hands. You know, you're always concerned when you get a receiver at this point, or is he on the downside of his career? That's hard to say at this point because he was hurt last year, but I think he could still go in and give him a legitimate number one receiver, and that's a reliable number one receiver, and that's something they need.
Great. You going to make any trips out to facilities for mini camps or off-season program or come down to training camp or anything, Charlie?
Well, certainly nothing for mini camp. I can tell you that because, as I know, I'm not leaving the East Coast for mini camps. But training camp, I don't have my schedule yet, so I hope to get out there.
Pencil in Minnesota. Would you? Last time you were here, I remember chatting with you. We had a lot of fun. I hope you can make it down
to
Mankato.
There, absolutely.
Yeah, we'd like to see you around here. We got a pretty fun team to follow, don't you think?
Absolutely. It'll be exciting with the draft choices. No question about it. The playoff appearance last year.
Yeah.
So
reigning MVP.
A lot to be excited about.
We have the reigning MVP, Charlie.
That's right.
I mean, you got to come out and see him.
That's right. And you know what? They're always supposed to be better the second year after the surgery. How about that one?
Yeah, there we go. That would be fun to watch. Maybe he can get to 2,500. That's his goal. So.
Okay.
Okay, well, if you come out to Mankato, you'll see the early steps of that process, hopefully. So hopefully we'll get
All
to
right.
see you at training
well, good
camp.
Good enough. I hope I get there.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie. There's a lot of NFL analysts out there, whether you're listening to the radio or watching TV, but Charlie Casserly is one of my favorites, so it's always fun to have him on the Wobcast. He says the Vikings may have the rookie of the year in Patterson and maybe the best defensive player in the whole draft in Sharif Floyd, and that's not even to mention the guy who I think is going to be the most impactful rookie for the Vikings in year one. That's Xavier Rhodes. So a lot of good times ahead for the Vikings. That's it for us today. We thank you again for listening. To play us out, we leave you with We Are the Vikings. Take it away.
We came from the Northland many years ago to live for truth and justice in the land of ice and snow. For what is right, we will always fight. We wear our colors proudly, purple, gold, and white. We're the Vikings. Faithful and true, we're the Vikings, and we got a job to do. We're the Vikings, purple, gold, and white, the Minnesota Vikings. We will fight, fight, fight.